5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Second hour of the program here on a Thursday with Faxon and John on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines at Adams Co. Roofing text line are open. Going to get to some texts here as we're previewing the upcoming slate of games this weekend. But real quickly, 955 did make an interesting point about Fifita. Fifita is an example of a guy who stayed put and it turned out to be a bad choice. John and I were talking about this a little bit during the break. Football-wise, yeah, bad choice. Objectively speaking, I think it's pretty hard to argue that he made the right choice football-wise. But John gave a little pushback during the break and said, yeah, but you know, he made the 40-year choice instead of the 4-year choice, which I thought was a nice way to articulate it. You know, Fifita is going to be able to go back to Tucson and be the guy that stayed and stuck around, right? And they won 10-plus games under Jed Fish, and McMillan went top 10 in the NFL draft. So there are some people that still have that loyalty and traditional type of elements to them with where they're valuing going to college. And Fifita is a guy that clearly cares more about his alma mater and his school than a paycheck or winning games.
One, he's been well compensated. I'm talking about Fifita here. McMillan, it's all worked out for him. But two, that's a young man. You watch him play football, he's going pro in something other than sports. Like, good on him for being down there and just realizing, hey, I can probably carry my name. It'd be better for me long-term to be the guy who stayed at Arizona and be the loyal man to the University of Arizona than for a bag for 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
Did it result in him winning more football games? No, but I do applaud somebody who is maybe thinking more long-term. I think the thing that makes it look even worse at Arizona about how far they fell when Fish left, and it was atrocious, don't get me wrong, it's a bad football team, was the fact that the team that was voted last place in the Big 12 preseason last year went and won the league and played in the college football playoff in Arizona State.
Yeah. I mean, your rival goes to the playoff after being picked dead last by the media. Your coach uproots and leaves for a team that was in your conference previously, obviously in the Washington Huskies. They're now in the Big Ten. You're in the Big 12, so they're getting a little bit more piece of the pie. It's a complicated dynamic, but I respect Fifita and Tet for that front for both saying, like, Tet could have gone anywhere in the country. Tet could have got paid $5 million to go play wherever he wanted last year, and he chose to stay at Arizona, so respect to both of those guys. Hey, real quick, before we take JJ's phone call, 279 says, been in Florida for work all week, haven't gotten to listen to my favorite show. What's the vibe at for Clemson, Georgia Tech? I got to go back to work, so if you could give me a quick review. Love you, Faxon, and love you too, John. Hey, appreciate you, 279. We'll get you a really, really quick mini preview for Clemson GT before you got to get back to work. John, I think I'm more confident than maybe you and most at the station are headed into this weekend, but I think there's a game script that provides paths to victory for both teams. Clemson's going to have to run the ball and succeed on first down on offense and defense if they want to win, and they're going to have to slow down Haynes King, who's the starting quarterback for Georgia Tech and really the catalyst and battering ram of that rushing attack, who's going to take a lot of hits throughout the course of the game. So I think the ultimate keys are time of possession in the run game, and whoever, you know, executes at a higher level in those elements has got a good chance to win, but there's also some leaky spots in GT's secondary where Clemson could get the ball rolling and click offensively.
To me, the biggest key, and I've got Georgia Tech covering the number here, the biggest key to me is Clemson's ability to tackle upon reception in the passing game. Georgia Tech is amongst the best teams in the country at yards after the catch. I think it's like over, like close to 70% of their passing yardage comes after the catch. It does. To me, I don't care if Haynes King is 18 of 20. Have him be 18 of 20 for a buck 10, not 250, because they're breaking tackles and making plays in space.
Yep.
I think they're going to do a lot of what LSU did and scheme some things open to get their guys in one-on-one matchups in some space. That's what Buster Faulkner does.
You're going to see a lot of screen.
You're going to see a lot of that. You've got to be able to get to the ball carrier quickly and get him to the ground, because the way that they draw that offense up, you need to put them, and after first down, they need to be at second and eight, not second and four. And the way those guys can break tackles and the way that Faulkner can get them in space, That's my big key here. I agree with you about Clemson's offense. You got to show up and be the aggressor.
Yeah. There's going to be opportunities for big plays for Clemson. You're going to see a lot of screen game with Faulkner. You're going to see a lot of throwing outside the boundaries to players in space and trying to get them in one-on-one matchups and force you to miss a tackle. And that's the thing that I keep wrapping back to. Georgia Tech's most underrated position group is their wide receivers, and people will never understand how good their wide receivers are because their quarterback isn't a good enough passer to consistently get them the ball. And they have to run a little bit of a JV-type offense because of the limitations that Haynes King places upon the offense, but they make it work, and they run it in a very efficient manner to where they can play into King's strengths, which are primarily running the football and being a leader that his energy can really feed off of for the rest of the team. So you're going to see a lot of quick passes. Haynes King is not a guy that's going to take deep shots down the field very often. They're going to run the ball on early downs. They're going to try and get positive gains. They're going to try and be physical as they can be up front, and they're going to try and spread you out horizontally as well by using a ton of motion. They're going to use Rutherford a lot in that orbit motion coming behind the quarterback from side to side. So Clemson's in for a rock fight this weekend. Georgia Tech's a really, really good football team, but I think this is a chance for the Tigers to kind of flip the tides on the narrative this season in the 2025 campaign, come out firing on all cylinders offensively, and hopefully this can be a big breakout game for TJ Moore, who struggled at this point this season, because I think he's got a good matchup. I think Wesco's got a good matchup, and if Tone ends up playing, Tone's going to have free real estate in the middle of the field all day. So Clemson's got to show up and put their big boy pants on and play some offense this weekend. If they do that, they've got a darn good chance to win the football game. Thanks for texting in 279, and I hope the rest of the day goes well for you at work, brother. Let's get JJ in here on the phone lines, 654-ROAR. JJ, good to hear from you. How we doing?
How's it going, gentlemen?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Well, first off, I want to say give me Furman over Campbell big time this weekend. I've talked to Coach Hendricks the other day, and
love it.
He's ready for this game. I think after the nightmare last week when we was up 31-7 and then him to come back and PC to come back and beat us 39-38 in overtime really put a chill in some of these guys. Look for them to win. But I want to talk about Wake Forest, NC State. Give me Wake Forest big time in this game. I'm talking 31-17. Over NC State. Claiborne shows why he is the ACC running back of the week, and he might get it for 2 weeks straight. This guy is unreal. He's a beast. Give me Claiborne helping Wake Forest just demolish NC State.
Man, I absolutely love it, JJ. I'm going to be on the Demon Deacons tonight as well and hope that Claiborne can get it going in the run game. And let's hope our Paladins can bounce back this weekend. A little bit of an unlucky break last week, but big-time matchup on the horizon against Campbell. And we can transition that to some NC State Wake Forest talk on the program, 654 Roar. We also got to talk about this Colorado game as well. But with NC State specifically, and Wake Forest specifically, we talked about this game yesterday. Two teams that have moved the football with pretty good efficiency at this point in the season when healthy. Claiborne went out on that first drive of the Kennesaw State game, and Wake Forest offense looked putrid. So without him, they've got nothing. They really desperately need Claiborne to be that identity and that cornerstone for them offensively, because he's a really good player when he can play. They've also got a receiver that I've been intrigued by with Chris Barnes. He's kind of a gadget type of guy, but he's really quick with the ball in his hands, so I'm excited to see him play tonight for Wake Forest. And I just think the big test tonight is going to be, it was my preseason read of Wake Forest defense being better than anticipated accurate. Like, that's an answer we're going to get tonight, because this is one of the best quarterbacks they'll face all season in C.J. Bailey. Hollywood Smothers is a really talented back. Jolly's an elite tight end. They've got upper echelon wide receiver talent. There's a little bit more than met the eye originally here with NC State. But the biggest question for Wake Forest is going to be, can you slow down Bailey consistently enough to give your offense a chance? And when your offense gets a chance, can Robbie Ashford do enough to give you a chance to win the football game?
And the answer to that is no. That's why I have NC State covering the 7.5 here in Winston-Salem this evening. I just, you know, hand up, I'll admit why I'm wrong. And so far, I've been wrong about NC State this season. I think Fordham is... could play himself into some all-ACC teams at linebacker for State. I think he is nowhere near the athlete that Peyton Wilson was, but I think can give you some of the Peyton Wilson elements of that defense. I've been very impressed by Bailey so far this season. I think he's just got a very good feel of what's being asked of him. And I just don't believe in Wake Forest. I think that's just... You and I just do not agree about the Demon Deacons this year. I think that is the... They are competing with Stanford at the bottom of the league for me. And so I think if State doesn't come on the road and take care of business here, I will have some questions. I like Claiborne. I think he's an elite talent. But outside of Claiborne, you're right, there's nothing on this team. I don't care if it's Ashford. I don't care if it's Purdy. I don't care if they get Riley Skinner one more game of eligibility to come back and play quarterback for this team. To me, it doesn't matter. Give me State. I think they have the opportunity to win big tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see them winning big just because they weren't able to do it against East Carolina. They weren't able to do it against Virginia. We are going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I just think that this football team's in a really good position because nobody's giving them any credit. Nobody's giving them any consideration. Nobody's even giving them the time of day. Like, we're in the preseason, you know, doing ACC kickoff in Charlotte, and nobody's requesting interviews with the Wake Forest coaches or players. Nobody cares. Everybody just kind of buried this team at the bottom of the league and was like, without Dave Clawson, they're not going to be worth anything. That's not really the way I view it. I think Dickert did a really good job adding talent on this defense, and I'm hoping that tonight can kind of prove my preseason take correct, that this defense is going to be one of the more underrated units in the country. But you got to go and show up and earn it. And like, that's not going to be something that's easy if your offense can't help you in the run game to play complementary football. Like, simple as, your defense can be great. If your offense can't keep the ball and keep your defense off the field, it does not matter. So that's the biggest thing for me tonight with Wake Forest. I believe in my preseason take of their defense going to be a good unit. I believe that they can stifle NC State's offense and at least hold them to less than the 35 points they scored last week. But where my lack of belief starts to creep in a little bit, and why the line here is 7.5, is Robbie Ashford's the starting quarterback. And there hasn't been a consistent semblance in the pass game for this team to date. So you need to get Barnes in space. Chris Barnes, the wide receiver transfer from Washington State, 5'7 freshman. He is just electric with the football, and he is fast as it gets. You need to get Claiborne going early and often and hope that his rib injury doesn't give out on him, because the game's over if it does, as we saw against Kennesaw State with this offense. But you got to find a way to just control the game. You got to control the game, and you have to play it on Wake Forest terms. If you can play this on Wake Forest terms, you've got a very good chance to win the game outright. If they get rolling and it's 14-0 State and you have to come from behind and play with Ashford as a passer, you are dead to rights. So that's why I think the first quarter in this game is very important. And when I talked about Alabama potentially being upset by Florida State, I kept wrapping back to that one point about the first quarter, and it was, if you can just survive the punch and you don't have to play from behind and use Castellanos as a passer, you have a good chance to win the football game. It's the same logic here that can be applied to this Wake Forest State game. If you can just survive the first 15 minutes, and you can look up at that scoreboard in Winston-Salem after 15, and it says 7-7, game on. Game on, and you've got a really good chance to win the football game at that point. But what you can't do is go down two scores early, and then all of a sudden, your identity on offense, which is your run game, and you wanting to shorten the game, that's evaporated into thin air, and Robbie Ashford has to be a passer. At that point, it could be in for that game script that you're talking about where State wins big.
Yeah, I just think there's too many paths. Like, I think the Wake Forest path to win this game outright is just too narrow for me. Like, I think State has more options, more avenues and ways that they can, like, I don't think they're as one-dimensional as Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest is very zone read, Ashford, Claiborne dependent, where I do think that if Smothers isn't going in the run game, Bailey's not going in the run game, that you still have Grimes, you still have Jolly, you still have Rogers. Like, there's still, I trust more of the playmaking options outside for NC State to give them a different look than I do at Wake Forest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Texter gets in and says, anytime Doran loses, we all win. Yeah, absolutely. And then another texter says, East Carolina and Virginia are much better teams than Wake Forest. Disagree
well,
on East
Carolina.
Certainly
the Pirates are. Come on.
I can't.
Did you see what they did to Campbell last week?
I'm hoping Furman can replicate that. Can we get some film to Greenville and Coach Hendricks? Can we get...
I mean, you've got walk-ons who are even lower than walk-ons scoring touchdowns against Campbell for the ECU Pirates last weekend.
Furman's got to win.
I mean, they grabbed, like, actual students from the stands, like that Navy game several years ago, and grabbed him out at halftime, put him in at quarterback. I mean, Furman, come on.
Furman's got to get a win this week.
Come on.
We got to get up off the pine after the loss to PC. Did get a win over William and Mary.
Scholarship PC.
Hey, PC's 2-0. PC got another win over a SoCon team in week one. Might be time to respect the
Blue Bones. That's certainly going to, you know, rapidly increase your invite into the Southern Conference, so I keep beating everybody, right?
Yeah. Maybe that'll help you get some scholarships for football. Real quick before we take a quick break, Mahendra of Anderson is where you need to be. Mahendra of Anderson's the best in the business, folks. I mean, I can't encourage you guys enough to go check them out. If you're looking to get more done around the farm or the property, you need to go with Mahendra of Anderson. It's your trusted hometown dealer for the world's number one selling tractor. Tough tractors to rugged UTVs. Mahendra of Anderson has power, performance, and unbeatable value that you need. Right now, you can take advantage of zero down and 0% financing by visiting them on Highway 28 Bypass or online at MahendraofAnderson.com. Mahendra of Anderson, where hard work meets horsepower. That is online at MahendraofAnderson.com, where hard work meets horsepower. Quick break on the program. We were supposed to talk about Colorado here, and we just got completely sidetracked with like three different games. Colorado-Houston coming up on the other side, I promise. We'll continue to run through some upcoming games on the slate this weekend, including an LSU-Florida matchup that the lines got me a little weirded out on. Quick break.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main and Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road, online, ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
When reliability matters, trust American Door Masters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990-3075. American Door Masters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at NewtonScottSC.com.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Hey, it's Walt. Forget the 12-hour drive to Buffalo. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Walden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City. Never doughy, just that perfect crust. The wings, crispy, juicy, and loaded with that buttery, spicy buffalo kick. And if you've never had one, order the legendary beef on weck. You'll thank me later. Moretti's, just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Walden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join us this Friday night for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This Friday night takes us to Pendleton High School, where the Bulldogs face off with the Powdersville Patriots in what's become a fun, heated rivalry over the past few years. Join us every Friday night this fall, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Folks, I think we can all agree that being overweight is a challenge. So many issues related to weight gain would just resolve themselves if only we could get that weight under control. And listen to me, the answer is not Ozempic. The answer is not more GLP-1 from a pill or a shot. The answer is a real natural solution from PhD weight loss. PhD patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking a drug. And sure, if you want to pay up to $20,000 a year to spend on losing precious muscle, be my guest. That's what happens when you go the Ozempic route. And don't even get me started on the endless list of side effects. Here's the deal. PhD weight loss helps you wake up your metabolism so your body produces its own weight loss hormones. So if you're already on Ozempic and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team will help you do it safely while continuing to shed those pounds. Call today, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to The Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download The Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
Second hour of the program continues on a Thursday with Faxon and John on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. All right, we made a promise on the previous side of the break, so we got to come through with it. We're talking Colorado Buffaloes football and Houston Cougars football. Ugh. I do like both coaches, I will say that. Willie Fritz, I think he's the guy at Houston. It goes without saying that Coach Prime's the guy in Boulder. Year three for Coach Prime, year two for Coach Fritz. If there's a guy that's going to get it turned around in Houston, it's probably Willie Fritz. I mean, this is kind of what he does for a living, is these turnarounds. And he's got a pretty darn good quarterback this year to play with in Connor Wegman. P4 talent that was at A&M for ages. Obviously, it never panned out how many would hope because of some of the repeated injury history with Wegman. He's played good football thus far through two games. Again, Stephen F. Austin and Rice, I would say take it with a grain of salt, maybe take it with a grain of rice through two games. That's the worst joke I'll make all day, so getting that out of the way. But in all seriousness, John, is there any way we can even accurately project this football game headed into this weekend with the unknown in Ryan Staub at quarterback for Colorado? Like, I don't even really know how to break this game down because the one game where we have tape of Colorado against an opponent with a warm body, he didn't play. We saw Salter for pretty much the entirety of that football game. Yet last week in the second half, they pull Staub out of the chamber and he rips it on Delaware. And now indications are that he's going to be QB1 headed into this week, even though that hasn't been confirmed. What are we making of the mess in Boulder right now at the QB spot?
I'm not sure if I'm making anything of it right now, honestly. I'm just going to kind of wait to see and turn on the TV tomorrow night at 7:30 to who trots out there under center. Thankfully, we don't have to pick this game. I mean, if we were, I'd be taking Houston.
Yeah.
I think the unknown's there. I think what Colorado is, trying to figure out the correct way to phrase this. I think there are a lot more issues at play with the Colorado offense than the quarterback position. Outside of Jordan Seaton, the five-star left tackle that they got, and a quarterback in that room, all the quarterbacks in the room, can you name me another member of the Colorado offense without looking at CFB depth?
Does running back count?
They're members of the offense.
Hayden.
How many yards does he have on the year?
I'm going to guess less than 50 because they don't believe in running the ball at Colorado.
Your leading rusher through two games is Price with 84 rushing yards. Simeon Price.
Yeah.
Like, I think we are making a big to-do about the quarterback, so we don't have to make a big to-do about the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't buy the O-line or the run game at all at Boulder, in Boulder.
I don't buy the receivers. I don't buy the tight ends. I like Houston, man. It's not an indictment on Deion Sanders. It's an indictment on the fact that you lost four NFL wide receivers and the Heisman Trophy winner and an NFL quarterback. Did not adequately replace them all, which, guess what? Outside of Ohio State, I don't know if any team in the country can easily replicate all what Colorado lost.
Now, on the other side, how much do we know about Houston? I think logic would lead us to believe that Willie Fritz is going to take a step in the right direction this year. They have a power four quarterback. They have a JUCO running back that looks good. They brought in a lot of transfers on their defense, but there's still a lot of questions to be answered for this unit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what, they've played Rice and, what did you say, Stephen F. Austin?
Yes.
I ain't played nobody, Paul. I believe in Willie Fritz because of the history that we have with him and what he's been able to do at Georgia Southern and Tulane, but I can't look at this team right now as a known commodity. I don't know anything about either of these two teams. I think it's a great opportunity to learn. Because if it's one thing I feel like we've gathered over the first couple weeks of the season, that Big 12 race is wide open for every team not named West Virginia. Like, that's the only team right now I'm like, they're not winning squat this year.
Right.
But everybody else in this league is alive. Even down and out Kansas State.
Only got one loss. That would have got you to the conference championship last year if you run the table with one loss. So.
Right. So, to me, I'm going to use tomorrow night as a learning opportunity. You know, because what if Staub takes off? Well, then we have something here with this Colorado team worth paying attention to. If this is the coming out party of Connor Wegman and this Houston offense that look like they can actually push in this league, I'm all in on that. So I'm excited to learn tomorrow night at Houston.
Yeah, I think it will be a good learning exercise. And the most fun exercise we'll have all season is trying to figure out what in the world's going on in the Big 12, and I'm not sure we're ever going to get to the bottom of it. That's the beautiful part about that league, is it's just going to be up and it's going to be down, and I'm sure we're going to get to the end of the season, because this is what always happens. We get to the end of the season and somebody's going to look like the front runner, and they're going to go choke in the last couple weeks, and you're going to get some dark horse in the title game that will win the title game and go to the playoff when they were on nobody's radar like 3 weeks prior, because that's how the Big 12 operates in 2025. So shout out to your Mark. At least your league is fun. It is a fun league to cover. I will give you that at minimum. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. 482 gets in and says, guys, there's plenty of interesting games this weekend. Matchups where you'd normally lean clearly on the side of the alpha, but this year seems to be different. Clemson's on the road, only -3. UGA -3.5. LSU only -7.5 at home, I think. And then South Carolina, I think at least one will lose, could possibly be all four. I'm glad she said one of these games specifically, because we got another text in that says, I picked Florida this weekend. I don't know why, just a feeling. Hope I'm wrong. John, let's talk Gators and Tigers in Baton Rouge, 7:30 p.m. ABC. #3 LSU plays host to the Fighting Billy Napiers, coming off a loss to South Florida. Would there be anything more Billy than to go win this game against all logical signs pointing in the direction of an LSU blowout?
I mean, I guess. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. I had pause with this Florida team coming into the season. I have pause with this Florida team now. This is what happens when you have a starting quarterback and you get him all new wide receivers and you don't rep it at all. Even offense that's – I just this thing is just a disjointed mess in Gainesville right now. I think they're checking out on Billy Napier.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of people who were here for the check, and I think we saw some of that getting exposed last week. It's not the right place to try to right the ship here. I'm very curious to see how LSU answers the call here Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because they had a little bit of a sleeper, just like Clemson against Troy, against Louisiana Tech last week, only winning 23-7.
Oh, they didn't give a rip about that
game. No, they didn't give a rip. We got to see them flip the switch back on. I'm curious to see if they can do it. I think they can. Very good football team. You know, is Tre'Davious Green ready to go? I think that's a huge piece. The way that he was able to absolutely engulf Avion Terrell in the end zone. He needs to be able to do that to Florida DBs Saturday night.
Yeah.
I have some questions about LSU's response here. But in no way could I back Florida in this game. Wasn't going to back him in the preseason in this spot. Certainly wasn't going to after the lack of effort that they showed. And lack of discipline. It's not a disciplined football team.
Yeah. And this is kind of my main takeaway with Florida and LSU. I'm tentatively buying stock in one side of the football for Florida, and that is the defense. I think the defense was fine against South Florida, right? You give up 18 points. You anticipate to win every game you give up 18 points in. So if I had to just make the case for Florida, for the sake of making the case, low scoring, gritty defense, you know, muck it up, make it ugly. Maybe your run game's a little bit better with Baugh than their run game is with Durham. And maybe you get Lagway's legs rolling. This is my issue. How are they scoring on LSU's defense if they couldn't score more than 16 on South Florida? Like, this is where the pipe dream dies, in my opinion. And this was at home, and now they're prime time in Baton Rouge?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, in that final draft, you gave up 30 yards of penalties to South Florida to go down the field and score. This isn't a serious football team.
If you can't stay connected and disciplined at home against South Florida, what makes you think you're going to go on the road to Baton Rouge, where the forever imprint in my mind of Florida and Baton Rouge is the dude chucking the shoe? And it's been all downhill from there. It has literally been all downhill from there. For the Florida Gators program, it has been all downhill since he threw that shoe in Baton Rouge. They would have won the game. And instead, now you're having these conversations of losing to South Florida at home and asking if the 7.5-point spread is fair this weekend in Baton Rouge. I took LSU. We have 6.5 in our contest, and I'm about to have Bengal John tell me why that's the right side, because I think his Tigers are rolling this weekend. John, good to hear from you. Are you as confident as I am headed into this weekend's matchup against Florida?
No.
Oh, okay. So I'm glad. Tell me what we're missing here, because we're obviously not as in the weeds and in the trenches as you are with LSU football. What are your main hesitations heading into this one against Florida?
My biggest hesitation is these games always seem to be weird. I mean, we had the Tennessee game, which you just spoke about, 2006. We had the fumble right at the end zone, goes under review, and then LSU gets turned away at the goal line. Florida actually wins that game. And then, there's just been a lot of weird things. You go down to the Swamp, I think it was a couple of years ago before Brian Kelly takes the job. We've got less than 6 inches to go and can't punch it in. Opportunity missed there. That was a loss. This game is just weird overall. And the thing that scares me the most is that Nussmeier has not been able to take the top off. He's not thrown a long ball. I mean, he's had some 20-yard, 25-yard passes. But if you look over the course of the last 2 weeks with Clemson and then Louisiana Tech, they're making hay on the perimeter. And it's not a lot of hay. Look at the yardage per game in the last two games for LSU. It's not earth-shattering by any means. Yet we have a quarterback that knows he can make all the throws. Other than Tre'Davious Green, we've got everybody. We've got speed. We've got talent. We've got skill. We've got height. We've got length. And yet we're not utilizing it. That scares the heck out of me, Faxon, because Florida's a team that has shown that they can be aggressive. Granted, last week they were not, but traditionally they are able to get to the quarterback. Usually they have a pretty salty defense.
Yes.
And all I'm going to say is this. If Lagway is on par, which we know he can be, I mean, he's shown it, Florida can put up points, and they do it in really, really quick ways. They don't like to sustain a lot of drives long period. That's not their mantra. They do it very, very quickly. And if LSU's not ready for that, yes, the defense is good, but if LSU's not ready for that, and all we're going to rely on is getting the ball in the perimeter, we may have a long night. I mean, there's a lot of concerns here. Now, on the other side of the coin, if we can throw the ball deep, make Florida defend in space, we've probably got a really, really good chance. But we can't just completely rely on the run game and the perimeter game. That won't get it done. That concerns me.
Well, John, before we let you go, because we got to take a quick break, what in the world happened with the run game last week? Because I look at the box score, and I'm expecting Durham to go for 100-plus and 2 touchdowns, but he never really got rolling against La Tech. Are you expecting there to be strides in the right direction there on the ground this week?
I do, but if you listen to what Brian Kelly said real quick, and I know you got to go to break, if you listen to what Kelly said, the opportunities weren't there for us to run it up the middle. Like Durham, I mean, he's a really, really hard-crushing running back, and he's got legs, and he's got speed, and he likes to be left and right, not to be stretched out. That's not what he's good at. So, I think Brian Kelly's right. Those opportunities weren't there, so they put the ball on the perimeter. They made it work on the outside. So
there
we'll
go.
See what happens.
Of course. Hey, John, appreciate you checking in with us. We got to take a quick break here, but this is why we love having fans from other teams call in to give us a little bit of an inside scoop. And he's right. Like, these Florida LSU games do always have a weird vibe to them. Maybe we're looking ahead of the Gators a little bit too much, John. We'll continue to talk some SEC football, preview some games, and maybe shift gears to some NFL right after this with Faxon and John.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Faxon Childress and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Dono Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
We all know and love Eggs Up Grill, but did you know they cater? From brunchy buffets to breakfast samplers, wraps, sandwiches, and salads, Eggs Up Grill has the best catering options in town. Are you a business owner or office manager looking to elevate your next meeting or party? How about a coach looking for your next team meal or box lunches? Visit Eggs Up Grill of Clemson, Seneca, or Greenwood. Ordering couldn't be easier for pickup and delivery through Easy Cater. Just visit eggsupgrill.com and click on the catering button. That's eggsupgrill.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Hey, it's Ian. Let's have an awkward but crucial conversation because you matter. Join Making My Mark with Kwok and Ben live from my school, Hamilton Career and Technology Center, on September 11th, noon to 3 p.m. Together, we'll talk, listen, and help end the stigma surrounding mental health. Remember, you can never be replaced, and it's okay to tell someone if you're not okay. Don't stay silent. Come be a part of the conversation that can change lives.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the actually really seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
We welcome you back in. It's the final segment of hour number two on a Thursday with Faxon and John on the Roar. Folks, if you're looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025, go with Carolina Top Dressing. They're committed to serving the upstate, bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. You can ask them about their latest top dressing amendment in Carolina Mix or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com. You can get yourself a free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We've been talking some college football on the program. We're going to shift gears to NFL at some point as well and get some NFL discourse in. I'll say this on the Florida LSU thing before we take a couple phone calls. There is something to be said about a team that is playing with a sense of desperation. And I think that would be my number one calling card to back the Florida Gators this weekend. I'm not going to do it. I picked LSU minus the 6.5 in the contest, and I might play that as well on my own accord. But it does always spook me a little bit to back a team like LSU in this spot where they've got everybody telling them how great they are, where everybody's kicking dirt on Florida and telling them they're dead and their coach is getting fired. That's all I'm saying. That's my biggest hesitation added into this one, John. It's just kind of the mentality that it takes when you go into a game in a desperation spot like this. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
I just don't know if Florida's desperate.
I don't know if they want
it. Everything on paper shows that they're desperate, but you know, watch some of the post-game stuff and some of the media availability this week. They don't strike me as a desperate team. Like, I sense more desperation from Cade Klubnik in a win last Saturday than I did from DJ Lagway in a loss.
Well, yeah, what did he say? It's just football?
Yeah, it's just football.
Yikes. Let's get Jason in Columbia in here. Also think we had Matthew at one point. Matthew, if you want to get back in with us, we can get you right on. 654-ROAR is the number. Jason, good to hear from you. How we doing?
So, man, yeah, that's not great from Lagway there. It's just football. Although I might be telling myself that over the next several weeks now that Purdy and Kittle might be out for, you know, 5 weeks or so. That's unbelievable, guys. I mean, you know, it's Mac Jones time, which, I mean, going into the season, I was like, it's just in terms of being a backup situation, Mac Jones isn't a bad situation to have as a backup, but I wouldn't count on him playing five games in a row. What do you guys think is realistic for me? I'm looking at the next four games. Okay, the Niners have the Saints, then the Cardinals, then the Jaguars, then the Rams, and then they get a week off. So, I don't know, guys. I'm thinking shoot for 2-2 and just tread water, and then let Purdy, if he needs it, sit out through the open date, and then you come back on October 12th. I mean, Saints, Cardinals, Jaguars, Rams. You think splitting 2-2 is doable with those four teams, given all the other injuries that the Niners are dealing with right now on top of Purdy?
I mean, to be honest, I know that the spread is 3.5 this weekend, and I get that it's Mac Jones. I think Shanahan could scheme me a win against the Saints this weekend, if need be. I also think that, again, our thoughts on Purdy differ, but you have to admit, Jason, that the coach that you have and the play caller that you have is probably the number one guy in the league that you want if your starting quarterback is to get hurt. With the way that he makes the game plan and life easy on the quarterback, I think the Niners are going to be fine. Obviously, this is a brutal run of injury luck that's unprecedented and unforeseen, and that element of it sucks, especially for a guy like Kittle, who I like watching play more than arguably anybody else in the league. I mean, if I had a tight end that I could just mold with my own two hands, I would place George Kittle onto my team. Any level of football, that guy is just flawless as a player. But I think that the 49ers are in a position where they're going to be able to be all right still. I mean, you still have Christian McCaffrey. Mac Jones is a guy that has multiple years of starting experience in this league and showcased that he can be a quality backup last year in Jacksonville. The weapons around him aren't great, but they're still decent with guys like Pearsall starting to break onto the scene and more. I think this is more just about the defense, but with Saleh back in town and the way that he's had that unit fly into the football in the early going, I still have confidence that San Francisco can do more than tread water. Like, you're going to beat New Orleans this weekend. I think there's a good chance he could beat Arizona as well. And with Jacksonville, you know Mac Jones is going to be motivated to play hard in that one. So Los Angeles on a Thursday night, short week prep, that seems a little bit bullish to expect them to win that game. But 2-2 or 3-1 doesn't seem out of the cards here, Jason. I don't think the season's over. Or there's any reason to panic.
Yeah, and to your point on Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan, obviously, I think you're 100% right about Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan was known to be like really a big fan of Mac Jones. You know, that was the rumor, was that they were trading up to get Mac Jones in that draft. And then the fans pulled a kind of like Vol Twitter did when they tried to hire Shiano. And then they pivoted to Trey Lance, which obviously didn't work. But, you know, I do have a concern about Mac Jones' lack of mobility relative to Brock Purdy. You know, Brock Purdy's not Lamar or Josh Allen, but he can scramble. I mean, he can get out of the pocket. And, man, the Niners' offensive line was not impressive against Seattle. Now, granted, you know, like you said, playing New Orleans, that's a different animal than playing Seattle's defense. But I'm worried about Dominic Pooney, who's a really good left guard. He might be out. And then Trent Williams, man, maybe he was just shaking off the rust last week, but he was actually their worst offensive lineman. So that's some of the things I'm concerned about. But I agree with you. I think the Niners will pull it out against the Saints because the Saints are just terrible. And, you know, they'll get after Rattler, and we know what happens when you get pressure on Rattler. Mistakes tend to happen. So, but I probably would just take 2-2, but I mean, if you think 3-1 is realistic, I'll go with that as well. But it just, like you said, it's so disappointing because it's an unprecedented run of injuries here the last two seasons there in San Francisco.
Yeah, it definitely is unfortunate. But again, like, I don't think Jacksonville is a good enough team yet to where you can just guarantee that as a loss for a team like San Francisco with that coaching staff and that level of preparation, first year head coach on the other side. Like, yeah, they played well in week one, but it was the Panthers, you know, and it's also so early that we don't necessarily have an accurate indication of what teams are to date. I just think San Francisco's infrastructure with coaching is almost too good to fail, regardless of who's on the field. So I'd anticipate you guys to figure it out, Jason. And I agree wholeheartedly. The final thing I'll say about this whole Niners fiasco, Mac Jones is good. Like, Mac Jones is a good player. He's just limited because of his lack of mobility. So that's going to leave a lot more importance on early down and distance gaining yards and then managing that as you get later and later into the game. Like, first and 10 needs to be a running down when Mac Jones is your quarterback. With Purdy, it's a little bit different. Like you said, he can evade pressure. You feel more confident that he can make all the throws. You need to run the ball on first and 10 every single play. Every single play of these next four games with Mac Jones, your starting quarterback, to get him into second and medium and third and medium and third and short. Because if you can do that, you can win with Mac Jones. Where Mac Jones got into trouble in New England, on top of having a bad supporting cast, was his play caller wasn't doing him any favors and they had no run game. He's not an elevator. He's not a world beater by any means, but he can game manage if you put him in the right situation. I think you guys are going to be just fine with Money Mac at the helm at QB.
Yeah, and I do agree with you as far as, I mean, luckily the Niners beefed up their running back rotation right before the season, and we know that Kyle will pound the rock unless it's the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl in which he's winning.
Yes, that is very much true. Jason, on that note, we'll let you get out of here. I appreciate you checking in with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Of course, 654-ROAR if you want to check in. And yeah, anytime we get some Shanahan slander, that's always funny. Really good coach, just for whatever reason in the big game, can never pull through. Texter gets in and says, no, Brandon IU cobbled Purdy, Mac Jones, and a hurt Kittle is not beating the Jags. I just think there's a lot to be seen. I think that spread's going to be closer than you realize, right? You've got the cross-country travel element of it for Jacksonville in a couple of weeks, and Jacksonville's also a team that's going to be playing at Cincinnati and then playing Houston in the 2 weeks leading up to that matchup. So they're going to have some tread on their tires as well. I think that's going to be a coin flip type of game, in my opinion, even with Mac Jones. So I like the Jaguars. I'm really rooting for them to succeed. I just don't know if they're as good as many think they are right now, and I don't know if week one changes that. Could be wrong. Would love to be wrong. Just kind of where I'm at. Well, John, since we're on NFL, we've got a free excuse to talk some of these games headed into the upcoming hour. There's a lot of good games on the horizon this weekend, but tonight is one that we kind of saved our breakdown for because it's the day of the game. Commanders-Packers, 8:15 on Prime Video. There were takeaways for both of these teams in the early going with their week one victories. I think the Packers beat a much better team than the Commanders is what I would say. The Lions, I still think, are a lot better than the Giants. But what's your interest level in this game headed into the upcoming slate tonight? Do you have a ton of interest?
Very much. I think at almost the entirety of the slate this weekend, this is the most intriguing game that we have outside of a Super Bowl rematch. You know, I said earlier in the week, I think this has the opportunity to be a chance at an NFC title game preview. I think both these teams are good enough to get there. I am very curious to see now with a little bit of tape of Micah Parsons as a member of the Packers defense, what does Washington do to maybe counter some of these things? I think this is a big opportunity for Laremy Tunsil, the big left tackle addition for the Commanders this offseason. I like Green Bay at home. I think that environment's going to be outstanding this evening, but I think both of these teams are two of the best in the NFC.
Yeah, and I also think we're going to get an accurate depiction of, you know, what to take away from week one. We're going to get a lot of questions answered tonight because the Packer, like, Texter gets in with kind of exactly what I'm getting at. 511 says, what was the biggest surprise of week one of the following two options? How good Green Bay looked or how bad Detroit looked? Ask me after tonight. Because I think we're going to get a much more, you know, accurate depiction of whether Detroit has a problem or Green Bay is just really good based on how Green Bay decides to elect a pretty good Washington Commanders team. Because if Green Bay looks really good tonight and they win by two touchdowns against Washington, then my answer is going to be, yeah, this is more about Green Bay. But if Green Bay doesn't look good and Washington wins, we might need to have a conversation about Detroit and what that looks like, and that might be a slippery slope for those Lions. So I think that's a question that we're going to get answered tonight. I tend to side more right now, 511, in the camp of the Green Bay Packers are just a really good football team and a true contender, but I think we're going to learn a lot, and that's the beauty of this. All right, in the upcoming hour, we're going to have Grayson Mann from TigerNet joining the program. He's going to walk us through his whole week on the beat in the world of Clemson football. Would love for you guys to get in with some questions for Grayson at 654-ROAR. John, John, what are you most excited to hear Grayson kind of talk about in this upcoming hour and upcoming segment?
His views on what the offense is going to do in this game, right? I think that's what everybody is waiting on, is what this Clemson offense is going to do in this game Saturday afternoon down there on the Flats.
Man, we needed them to come through, and we definitely need them to come through with more than 13 points, which is all that Drake May could muster this past weekend on the Raiders. Sorry, Grayson. It will be brought up again, but I had to get the jab in there while we had it. I would like to order more than 13 points this weekend in Atlanta, if that were something I was able to order. So
much, much, much more than 13.
Yes. I would take 31. I would take the inverse. So we'll visit with Grayson Mann from TigerNet in the final hour of the program here on a Thursday, right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.